You know, what did Paul say? Have you not homes to eat in? That's what Bishop used to keep saying to us, didn't he? We have and we're blessed. We've got everything, absolutely everything. God's left nothing out, has he? And if you haven't got everything, ask him. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Thank you, God. I was going to be first to share something. As I say, we are not looking for budding preachers. We are looking for what God has said to you in your quiet time and that really blessed you and that made you jump for joy. And there's something warm inside, you said. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We want to feel warm as well inside, knowing that Jesus is speaking. Praise God. Ray, are you bursting? Come and do it, young man.
I'm going to start with a reading from Matthew 25. Famous reading. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Amen. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Amen.
Amen.
I was out with some friends on Tuesday from Bawtry Church. We were at the house of a lady who likes to cook, and we had a wonderful meal. But I very, very rarely watch television. But her television was on, and the news was on, and I saw for the first time the devastation that's been in the Philippines. There are parts of the Philippines that haven't even been reached yet. And looking back, there always seems to be a tragedy just before Christmas time. Well, they've got absolutely nothing. It really, really touched my heart. We have so much. We have everything. And I resolved, well, God spoke to me and said, "How are you going to help?"
Amen.
So I resolved then that there's nothing I need, nothing I want for Christmas except to see these people with water to drink, food to eat, and homes to have shelter in. I'm only sending Christmas cards to those people that I will not see. I'm not buying presents for anyone except those who would be very offended if I didn't. Likewise, I don't want presents this year. I'm saying this to all my friends, family, and everyone. I prefer that they give a donation to the Red Cross, as I am going to. And let these people see that we, their brothers and sisters, really, really are standing with them. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was my sentiments too the other day with Bill Wilson and the kids. These kids who are one-parent families who live on the streets of New York, Philippines, all around the world. Some of them don't even have shoes on their feet. And they don't get anything for Christmas. And so they send them all a Christmas box. And so God said to me, do them good, Grace, bless them. Because when you do that, you're doing it for me. And we get so much at Christmas, and it's good to bless those who don't. And it is good to send, but I would add a note of caution. Be careful which organisation you send it through.
Can I just follow this? You know what I'm like with giving? I'm not tight, you know that. But I like to know that where I put my pound, that pound, that full pound, goes to where I send it.
Yes.
Right? And we know, and Bill's done a lot of looking at these things in the past, where there are some of these organisations and there are people at the top who are paid a very, very big wage.
Yes.
Actually, some of it's obnoxious. And in some cases, 10 pence of the pound goes only to the need that is there. Bill Wilson Ministries from the USA have a base out in the Philippines. Well, it's called Metro Ministries, yeah. They work particularly with children, in particular, is one of his great ministries. I do know for a fact that just about every pound, or the biggest percentage of the pound, will go to the ministry in the Philippines. There are very low-cost administration fees involved. They need some fees to run the thing, but there are not people in there getting £100,000 a year to look after the ministry. These are people with a heart for ministry. And I would say to you, or I would give guidance, put it this way, to you, that Bill Wilson's ministries, Metro Ministries in the Philippines, may be a far better place than the Red Cross. And I'm not biased in any way, but as I said to you, I like to see where I put my money that the majority goes to the need. And that's why I'm giving some counsel and guidance. And I know there's a lot of advertising going on TV. And sadly, this time of the year is when they start to pull on the heartstrings. And they're all out there begging for your money. And but my next question is, which is the right place to put it? Which will be more effective? And you know, in the past, I mean, the last few years we've been sending shoeboxes, and then we changed it that we sent finance out so that people could buy the presents and give the gifts, so that it was there was less cost involved in postage. And so instead of sending a gift of maybe that cost you £5 and then you had to put £2 postage in, we were actually putting it to a point where that £5 was actually more productive over there. And you know, instead of wasting 30% of your gift, you can actually increase your gift by 30%. This is how I think, you see. This is how I tick. I do like to know where the money goes. I like to be able to... I say to people... I was just saying to Bill, weren't I, earlier on, I found somebody on Facebook that we probably haven't been in contact with since just after they got married in the USA. This young man came over to the UK when we were in the Bentley Church, and we were youth leaders, and they came with a team of about 12 young people from the States in Bible College, and we had them for about 10 days. Some of them stayed with us, and that's how we met some other folk in the USA, and the contacts have gone on from there. And we actually then had an invite to the wedding somewhere around the early 80s, wasn't it? Went over to their wedding in LA and stopped there and, you know, stayed with the parents. And we've been to stay with the parents in the past, haven't we? And this guy, he left the ministry in the end and went into the police force, did Kent Miller. And I found his wife on the Facebook just a month or so ago. And obviously on Facebook, on my Facebook, there's connections to Harvest Fields Ministries and various things like most of us have. It's very good, actually. It's very useful for that. So she went, she must have been on the website. And then she sent me a message just a few days ago and said, I've seen what you're doing in the ministries. And she was asking the question, is it, you know, are you the pastor, etc., etc.? And what I'd like to do, she said, I'd like to send you $100 towards the ministry that you're involved in. And I thought, well, praise God for that. So already, you know, there's a donation towards the ministry of missions. Because when somebody sends a gift, I don't take it. I point it to the ministry. I rely on God and what we have here to support us and to bring us through. Now, you know and I know at the moment, probably, you don't need to be super smart to realise that people have left for various reasons, numbers are down, and the giving's down. And at the moment, we're running in a negative balance. All I can say is we need to pray and we need to reach out into other people's lives to try them, draw them in. And you know, and in our lives, as we sow our financial seed, we believe God will bless us financially. You know, I mean, if we were having to buy a building, I'm not sure how we would be going on at this time. And yet I've just seen the Roman Ridge is now up for sale. You went on the website, did you? No. No, it's up for sale still. It's been in a state of flux for quite some time, hasn't it? Well, I went past yesterday. How much? I'm sure they'll take less than that in a bit. But the place has definitely been boarded up now. Well, I've only just been past yesterday. I just noticed it yesterday, really. Whatever God's going to do, He needs a miracle in many ways. He needs a miracle in our nation. Amen. He needs a miracle in our town.
Amen.
How many big churches are there? And I don't mean building-wise. I mean numerically. I think there's a couple. But as regards giving for Christmas, we endorse, you know, that those type of things in particular. I don't really know what we're going to do towards Romania this year. We do have some finance left from the last gifts that you gave, which was in one sense for the ministry in Africa, and we didn't exactly see where all of that should go. So at this time we held back on that. So there is some finance available that we could use in different areas in our Christmas giving. And and same with if you've got old books and that you think, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm going to throw these away. Don't throw them away. Pass them on to Helen. We stick them on Amazon. Somebody buys them. And, you know, again, that money goes to the ministry. This year, whilst we were in the States in July, one of our suppliers who we've worked with now for close on 25 years, ever since we started really, just simply gave us a pile of bracelet, jewellery type things. And they arrived in England with a shipment of goods from him, and we're thinking, where's the invoice for these? We couldn't find out what it was all about. Finally, asked the question by email, they sent a message back, oh, this is a gift from us for you to sell, to use the money for whatever your ministry does. Oh, you know, God gives us favour. You know, but everywhere we go, we tell them what we're into doing, what we're seeking to do. I've just gone, you guys that are on Facebook have already seen, I've already just this last week just put the company, Harvest Fields, up on the internet. You know, I think by the end of the day of me putting it up, I'd got 41 of you had responded. and you know, the thing's up and running in that sort of sense, and we need send it out, you know, and it will point people to the sites. You know, there's the church ministry, there's the business ministry. What else have we got, Bill? You know, there's all these things that are, you know, so many things that we can connect together. In all, there's about 12 sites that we can point people through, and just see God moving and changing things in a great way. I just had the other day, I meant to tell you, there's something we need to take off, and we need to put a connection through to Carpenter's Arms. You know, the link to Carpenter's Arms website. So just chalk that one up, and while I remember, I'm doing it now. We're connected, you know, we're connected with so many people. We're seeing God moving in many ways. Just a little bit update on Mark. Remember Mark? Thought you would. He came up to see us a few weeks ago, and I sensed that things weren't quite right with him. Anyway, I had a message from him the other day. He's had a bit of a rocky, rolly time, but he's still there. He's still in the place where they placed him, and he's talking with Brian and David, who are running the Carpenter's Arms at this time. And so thank God for that, you know. So keep Mark in your prayers. Mark is going to be a young man that he's going to need a lot of constant care for possibly a long time, if not for the rest of his life. Okay? This is what drugs do. This is the damage that drugs do. And so keep Mark in your prayers. And he sends his love to everybody, which is great. You know, he loves you all. But he has these times. And there's only Jesus can do anything for him. There's only Jesus can keep him on, you know, keep him going forward and keep him in the right path. But he does need support along the way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's great that we're able to do that. And, you know, Carpenter's Arms is a place that we bless every month from the ministry here to help keep that and maintain that ministry going forward.
Yeah.
You know, that ministry has got tremendous results. It's well known in the area. It's always on TV.
Yeah.
We don't get their TV, you know, but it is always on local TV. It's always in the newspaper, and it's, thank God, it's always for the right reasons. You know, they've been up for, Brian got the Citizens Award of the Year for the area of Loughborough because of the Carpenter's Arms, for the work that is being done in that place. He was then up for the UK Citizen Award of the Year. He was in the top six. He didn't actually get the award, but that's how highly rated the Carpenter's Arms and the work it does.
Yeah.
We as a church have actually provided our own Carpenter's
Arms.
Yeah.
That's right. We do.
Yeah.
You see, Carpenter's Arms needed extra finance at one stage. We needed to get some housing, because we want to move these guys from out of the rehab centre into general lifestyle living. And so we rent a couple of houses, and we have a mortgage still on the Carpenter's Arms. And so we needed to free some finance up, etc., and somebody who needed to call back some money from a loan that they'd given. So we as a church stepped in and filled that gap. And some individuals have also, you know, stepped in and filled part of that gap. And so we filled part of that gap. And so, as Ken says, we have a seed planted in that ministry. And, you know, they're out. They were on TV just recently. They sent me a link that was available for the Leicester area. On like a YouTube connection for TV, and it showed lads who were out on from the Carpenters out, and they were out sailing quite a large ship. And when I mean sailing, I mean pulling up the sails and etc. And they were having a great time, and they were interviewing him, saying, you know, what is it? What is it that it has? What has it done for you? And each of them was bringing in Jesus and the Christian life that has brought them through with, because of the carpenter's arms and that connection. And they weren't holding back. One young man at the moment is in Romania. Jamie. You'll find him on my Facebook. Bless him. Now and again he says a few things he shouldn't say. And now and again Pastor Andrew sends him a message and says, Jamie, do you really think you should have said this? And he'll look at it and he'll come back and he'll send a message saying, thank you ever so much. I really appreciate you being my friend and just keeping me, you know. And we have to do this to each other. We have to cover one another. And so I do that occasionally with him. But he's actually raised £1,000 himself through various efforts over the last few months. Now, this guy's been an alcoholic, a drug addict. He was a, prior to all of this, I think he was a plumber or a joiner or something of that nature, and lost all his business through drugs and alcohol. Yeah? Is that right, Graham? And now, at the moment, he's out in Romania. There's an old lady out there. She's about 62, 65, I think. And she goes... Well, I'm having trouble now, aren't I? An older lady, a middle-aged lady. I don't know what you want to call her, but she looked... Put it this way. For her age, she looked old, okay. She's had a tough life, and she has to go to the woods and carry bundles of sticks back to the house. Did you go and see that house, Ken? It's the one where you couldn't get in the house because of the wood. The house, every room in the house is stacked high with wood. And there's a gap that you can just get through. It is unbelievable. It's outside. And these bundles that she's got tied up that she's carried back from the forest. Well, I try picking one up. And I thought, I won't want to carry this very far. And I don't know how she does it. She must have a constitution of an ox, this dear soul. Her back garden's an absolute mess, and she has to go to the toilet outside. Well, Jamie's gone out there and he's built her a woodshed. Put a concrete base down, he's raised the money, he's got bought new timber, and they've put a new shed up for her so she's got a place to keep her wood so she can get the house emptied. Her own family don't want anything to do with her. They're waiting for her to die so they can sell the house and take the money. You know, we reach out to people and we reach out to the needs. And we might not always do it ourselves financially, we might not always do it ourselves physically, but we link people constantly to the work that we're involved in. And Jamie came out with us on a trip, you see, and he got involved and he saw the need and he made a decision that that's what he was going to do. Well, thank God that's a life that was going to hell. Yeah. That was a life that was possibly not going to live too long, has now found Jesus, and Jesus has got hold of him, and now he's doing other things for the work of the kingdom, and he's making his way step by step closer to God, and God's restoring him. And just thank God for that. Amen. So that's just a bit of guidance, if you want, just to encourage you. There are loads of places and people we know where we can use the gifts, and for the Philippines in particular, Bill Wilson's ministry, Metro Ministries, have an office in the UK. We're in contact with them. Do you remember Brian? Brian from... Oh, it's just gone. I know that many Brians. Everybody I know seems to be called Brian in ministry. He's connected with Metro Ministry out in Lancashire. You know him. We all know him. He's been here. He's ministered here. And he's connected with Bill Wilson's ministry, and so, you know, it has a good pedigree.
Yeah, it does.
And it's a place where we know that that money goes to do the job that it's sent to do. Bill Wilson does not live like a rich man. He sleeps in his office, I think. He doesn't have a house. He sleeps in his office. That's his lifestyle now. And all he does is he travels for Jesus and rents buses and buys buses to run. I think he's got 30 buses in New York that he buses children into Sunday school every Sunday and feeds them, etc. And they're doing something similar in the Philippines as well and other places in the world. And all he does, he goes round just to raise the awareness for the need and raise that finance. And it's not for him. Not for him at all. So praise God. So if you need some information, etc., let us know. We'll get you that information. And we can do it that way. Or if we want to do it as one lump of a gift through the church, we can do that. You know, just take an envelope, write on it, Philippines, etc. Put it all together. We can send one check off and just get it done in one shot if that's what you want to do. Okay? This goes deeper, you see. Yeah, you're running with a two-edged sword,
yeah,
aren't you? You know. Whereas the Red Cross runs with a sword with one edge, we're going to run with a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
We're going to meet physical needs and we're going to meet spiritual needs.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's what we need. And so, absolutely. Well, eternity, aren't you, in that sense. So so that's something for you to consider. Thank you, you know, for bringing it to the attention of everybody. I'll hand back to whoever's next.
I was just reading, it's not necessarily needed to go on the website, but I was reading this week about some very, very wealthy men in the 70s, and this one particular man was obnoxiously rich, and he made so much money that he didn't want to declare it to the tax. And so what he did with it, he set up a fund, a charity fund, and he put all his residue that he would have to pay to the taxman in this fund. And then he promoted it and attracted a lot more money than he ever could have got in the bank. And he got something like $150 million in this account. And to the actual charity that it was supposed to fund went $7.5 million. There's some very unscrupulous people out there under the guise of charity. We just need to be really careful who we send it to.
When I look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, and I suspect many of us have read it already this morning. If I'm still here in an hour, will somebody throw something at me? Hoping and hollering, eh? Yeah, the British Red Cross, it's not what it once was. During World War II, it had a good reputation. It did us some mighty sterling work for people where it was needed. But today, it's a business. It's a commercial enterprise. And I've discontinued my association with quite a few charities that I've been with for many years because they've got CEOs who are on fat cat salaries, and the British Red Cross is one of them. He's on 150K a year. So I've decided to desist associating with them. They do pester me on the phone. They're one of these reasons that I've had to buy an answer phone for my telephone, so I don't answer the phone in the daytime. If anybody rings me, the answer phone picks it up, and if I recognise who it is and it's somebody I want to speak to, then I'll pick it up. Yes, it's that's how it works, Emily. So when it's the call centres like the Red Cross and Oxfam, they hang up when they hear my outgoing messages. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. Anybody read it this morning on the Our Daily Bread? I said to God, this morning, Lord, I haven't got anything for this afternoon. I haven't got a message to share with anybody. Can you give me something? So then I got this one. That's how God does things, you know. Friday night I was praying like I often pray when I'm driving down Kensington Gore in London, going to the Royal Albert Hall, and I always get the prayer answered. Lord, all I want is one parking space at the side of the building. So I drove up, there's only two disabled parking spaces at the side of the Albert Hall. I gets up there, and guess what? They're both filled. God, what are you doing? This is not how it works. I remember there's just one more space round the back of the building, so I shot round the back of the building and there it was. Praise the Lord. What am I talking? I'm going off topic, aren't I? Sorry. Don't matter, does it? Yeah, I'm free. Yeah, that's it. What does it say on it? Ooh, where are we? Chapter 8. If we say that we have no sin. See, I said I wasn't going to do it. Chapter 1, verse 8, yeah. I said I wasn't going to do this anymore, didn't I? Because I was talking about, last time I talked about sin, I believed I misled everybody, so I thought I'm going to keep it stum now, I'm not going to do this again, but here I am. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. A couple of weeks ago, I think I mentioned this to Andrew. I heard a woman saying to somebody, I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong at all. So I've nothing to answer for. She'll just call, that's one sin, yeah. Some people don't understand what sin is. They think because they've never been arrested and never been in the dock at Crown Court, they have never sinned. I know people who've committed thousands and thousands of offences, and if they were CRB checked, they would come up squeaky clean, so they are perfect. But if they've been caught for everything they've done, they would be permanently in prison. My dad always used to say, he said, it's not for doing wrong that you get punished, it's for getting caught. And it's a dangerous area to be in. You're on thin ice when you've got this attitude, I've never sinned. And if you don't know what sin is, then you don't know when you're committing it. But you won't repent of any sins because you've never committed any in your mind. I don't know if anybody knows that Billy Graham has just been celebrating his 95th birthday. And there's a little snippet of his very last broadcast on our website. It's on the front page, and it's on the Billy Graham page as well. We've got one. And he said this. This is very, very important, this. On his very last broadcast, he's talking about the fact that he spent his life as an evangelist. And he says, why me, Lord? I'm still a sinner. I still need your forgiveness. I still need the cross.
Amen.
Don't we all? And one of his broadcasts that he did in, I think it's Orlando, Florida, every Sunday lunchtime when I'm getting my dinner ready, I always play that one because it's my favourite. I like the song that George Beverly Shea sings about, he'll welcome you with open arms, it says on that song. And Billy Graham, he talks about God has had his eye on you ever since you were conceived in your mother's womb. He's been watching you. Everything you've ever done, every thought you've had that's passed through your mind, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever considered doing, he's got it all on record. And it's all going to be on the screen. When we die, we're going to have to stand before the Lord. And we're going to have to count for everything that's on that screen. It's in the books. He calls it the books. Your name is in the books. And unless you repent of your sins and receive the Lord via the cross, then your name will come out of the books and it will go in the book. The Lamb's Book of Life, yeah. But we've got to get there. Some people, They'll say they don't believe in God. They've nothing to repent for. Some people will believe in God when the circumstances are right for them to believe in God. I don't believe in God, they'll say. And then they're on an aeroplane going across the Atlantic Ocean. Suddenly there's a bang. Look out the window, the engine's on fire, half the wings dropped off. Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, you've got an 8-year-old daughter. She's not come home from school. You ask her friends, what's happened to her? Well, I saw them getting into a van, a white van. Now you believe in God, don't you? Oh Lord, yeah. So when the circumstances are right, people will switch on, they will switch sides. You know. But it takes repentance and it takes commitment, total commitment. I mean, how much commitment has people got? How much commitment have we got in here? Sometimes wonder there, sometimes because there are some people who might be here today who won't be here next week. Some people were here last week who are not here today. And that is why, who is most important in their lives? Is it God or is it this other thing? They'll say, I'm not going to be here on Sunday because we're going to so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, is that so-and-so, so-and-so more important than what goes on here? I have to tell you that I've only missed 2 meetings in this church this year. One of them was a Wednesday night when I was doing God's work in another church, was the consecration of the curate. And the other was a Sunday when I was recovering in hospital. But 2 days after I came from hospital, I know it's no excuse, but well, I did go to church that day. I did. I went to the chaplain downstairs. But 2 days after I came out of hospital, I was in here, and the Sunday after I came out of hospital, I was playing the honky-tonk over there. So like I say, it's a case of... The other thing can wait. You don't say to the church, I won't be here next week because I'm going to be so-and-so, so-and-so. You say to so-and-so, so-and-so, I won't be here next week because I'm in church. But how many of us are going to do that? And I suspect... I mean, the people come here maybe once a month. We're very thin on the ground today. Where are they all? Where's the commitment? I'm stuck. Have I said enough? Have I been here? How long have I been here? Oh, I've not been here now yet. I've had some way to go yet. I'll just say amen. Praise the Lord.
It's having that passion for Jesus, isn't it? You just want to be where he is. And you can reprimand people as much as you like, but until they've got that passion inside them, they don't tend to change. But I thank God for the passion that he's put within us. He's first. I was thinking today that there's only God can do anything about your past, isn't there? He can erase it, and he can restore the years that the locust has eaten. And I think, wow, God, there's only you can do that. And he's different to everybody else, isn't he? He's alive. And I'm so glad that I'm in his care. Praise God. Who's next?
You know, I think it is sad that people get born again, give their lives to Jesus. Yeah. And they do stop coming. But we've got to pray for people like that because then they're lost. Yeah. They don't realise what they're missing.
No.
It can be so easy. People who I know have not come. They have come and then they've not come. That can be through an illness. But you have to try and get beyond it to pray with your whole heart and passion and to know that God will heal you and to know he'll restore you and to know that... And if that person's not going to do that, all you can do is pray for them and hope they will, because the only way they can do it is by getting into God's word, getting a relationship with him. And if they're not going to do it, there's not a thing you can do. So even if they did come here each week, there might not be no point in them being here because they might be sat there thinking, well, because some people do, they sit here, they bring the Bible with them, but do they open the Bible? Do we stand here and say, well, turn to this scripture? And they'll sit there, because I've seen them, I'm not saying anybody's name, but I've seen it a few times. They don't turn to the scripture. And not only that, if you're preaching something, you can sit here for an hour and preach it. And they'll go home and they'll think, right, what we're doing next week or what this, and they won't even think at all what's being said. And they'll even forget what's being said. So you can't, all you can do is pray. And as I've got frustrated with that as well, with people. I'd just like to add, like what Ray was saying about how he happened to be at this meal and he hardly listens to telly. And he heard about the Philippines. And that was, now that's God wanting to talk to Ray. That's God thinking, right, I want Ray to know this. Yeah. And I've not had the news on or anything, and I've heard people mention the Philippines, and I thought, oh, something must have gone off in Philippines, and I've not even gone to find out what's wrong. But you see, you've got to be aware of when God is speaking to you, and are you listening to what God is saying? Because I've been sat in the car, and then I heard Joyce Meyer say, I don't listen to the news. You know, it's all bad things. I want people to hear me good things. And one thing she did say, what struck me, was, I know that if God wants me to know something, he will find somebody to tell me. I will find a way. There'll be some way. He'll find a way of somebody to tell me. And that struck me, that were in my heart. So then I thought, since Ray stood up here and said Philippines, I thought, yeah, that's a few times. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is you've got to be aware, are we listening to what God is saying? Mm-hmm. That's what you've got to be aware of. And one thing I want to share here is about worship, because I've studied a lot on it and looked up the scriptures. And one thing that went through my mind was, I've never heard Joyce Meyer talk much about worship, I thought. So I started looking online and bits and bobs, and I didn't really get very far. Maybe it was my fault, I don't know. And then I was in the car driving, and one thing she did say on one of my CDs I'd got was, she says, I wrote this book, and it's the worst selling book I've ever written. No, it was called The Love Revolution. And so I thought, right, Christine's going to get that. So what did I do? I went online, ordered the book, and got it. So I've kept saying to Ray, I've kept dishing this book out, and he's brought books to me, and we've looked at all these books, what we're going to do. And I've kept saying to him, and I've said, I want us to look at this book, Worship, about the Love Revolution. And we were reading through it. It's right at the beginning of the book. And she talks about worship. And what this just blew me away, this did. So I've wrote it out, what she said, and I'd like to share it with you. What Joyce Meyer is saying is, my personal request, say, is to worship the Lord with my whole life. Her highest priority is in her spiritual life is to seek him, love him, and serve him. Learning the weightness of a lifestyle of worship, the value of his presence, and his amazing grace as an indescribable gift. And we will certainly need all of eternity to express an adequate thank you for all he has done and continues to do. Well, that just blows me away, because we can never be ever thankful for him, can we? We need eternity to be thankful for him. And he deserves all the worship and praise what we give him. He does, he deserves it. The learned discipline to bring a song of faith and exalt Jesus in the midst of a battle has been one of the greatest lessons that I have endeavoured to learn in my heart of hearts. Well, I can relate to that as well. There's been a few, like today, I've come here in a bit of a mess, really. But I'm not a mess in Christ.
No.
And I thought to myself, and I can feel God talking to me.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, well, if I have to come to church and I'll sit and cry, then I'm going to come.
Yeah,
and if I can't share this, I'm sure he wants me to share it, because this is what I'm trying to say, how he spoke to me, and like Pauline said to me, well, the more you turn to God and the more his strength is in you, because she was praying with me out there, she said, the more Satan will attack you.
Yeah.
That's wanted me to say even more. My continued lesson is about what more the Lord is actually requiring of us through worship, and I continually hear his heartbeat throughout the scriptures on making sure that worship is more than the songs we sing. You see, that's it, because, and that struck me as well, because I thought, his heartbeat, yes, that's how you can describe it, isn't it? His heartbeat. And that stayed with me ever since, because I've been listening to him, and yesterday I was travelling to St Helens, and it was quite a tiring trip I did there and back, and I've got Joyce Mayer, and she's mentioning about worship, and I'm thinking, there we go, worship again. And I'm thinking, God's trying to tell us something, but I was thinking, I never heard her mention worship, but the fact that he's used her to talk to me about getting the book and about worship, I've heard her mentioned it so many times, and then to read this as well. Anyway, what she's saying is scriptures on making sure that worship is more than the songs we sing, but the lives poured out, desperate to be in his hands and feet on the planet today. Well, that's it, because, you know, we've got to be his hands and feet on the planet today. Worship him, and you see, we've got to build our relationship up with him, you know, to share. We need to share what we've been through, what he's doing to us, and how we worship him. I mean, I'm trying to do all I can. And what I go through, whether it be in depths of despair or what, I want to come through it with God and be able to tell people what I've been through and how I've got through it. Amen. We can easily have a works-based attitude with our service, becoming works-based, based on ourselves instead of those we are serving. Well, is it works-based? Do you come to church and think, well, I'll go home, I'll do an hour's study when I get home, or I'll do it tomorrow morning when I've watched whatever it is on television, and all this. That's what you get with people. Like Bill says, some people think, oh, well, I went to church last week, and there's no need for me to go this week. Or I've been all 4 weeks in 1 month, and they won't mind if I miss one week in a month or whatever. So I can understand that. But I don't want to have a workspace attitude, coming to church and doing it when I want to do it, when I've got, you know, I want to put God as a priority. Amen. And by doing that, I've got the relationship I have, and I can feel him wanting, and like when she says his heartbeat, I can feel that, and it's wonderful, and I love it. Anyway, she goes on to say, deliberate times of worship will position your heart to be confronted and be transformed in his presence. And that's exactly what I'm saying. You'll be transformed. The whole journey of the Christian walk is to love as Christ loved, with the heart, not the world's kind of love. Now, that's what Christ wants us to do. His love. You can't love in this world's love. You can't. Christ's love will. It'll cost us a lot. Because you cannot love. You know, people are going to probably slap you for loving the way Christ loves. But since I've learnt about Christ's love, I want to love as he loves, and I find that by doing that, I feel a lot better person, and I don't care who wants to slap me or who's going to turn the back on me or who's going to think, oh, she's a bit odd, or you go to church on a Sunday or whatever. All that, whatever you're going to get, I want to love as Christ loves, because I can feel, like I say, his heart beating, and I can feel what he's put me through. And I can say, I mean, I'm speaking from the heart. And I think that's learning to worship with all that you are is a critical step in the process. The care and well-being of your heart is of premium importance where the Lord is concerned. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. God is really encouraging us. Worship, a top priority. And when you realise how much he's done for you, you cannot help but worship and put him first, because he's given us everything we've got. Anybody else? Yes, Edwin.
I'm not going to call you Christians, I'm going to call you followers of God. Yeah, that's more better, isn't it? More like it. See, the song, Turn Your Eyes Toward Jesus, see, a lot to turn the eyes towards Jesus, but then the same as some they've turned away. They only turn back again when they want something. You've got to have your eyes focused on Jesus nearly all the time. I was watching Christian television Thursday night, TBN. I was flicking through to see if we could see an interesting one. And the singer was singing it, Turn Your Eyes Toward Jesus, Look Into His Beautiful Face. You know, I don't know the words, because I loved it. I've heard Mother sing it. Yeah. And he started breaking out in tongues. And all of a sudden, I just lift my hands up. And I don't know if he spoke out in tongues or not, but the presence of the God, he filled me there, he did. When Christian was talking. Yeah, he just filled me. Yeah, so you've got to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. If you don't, I don't know, yeah, I've lost. I don't mean lost because you're wonderful people. God bless you.
I read this today and it did bless me. It was from Luke 9 and verse 29 to 32. Jesus took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening, and they saw his glory. The glory came down as he went to the quiet place and met with his Father. And the comments were these: when Jesus took these three disciples up into that high mountain apart, he brought them into close communion with himself. They saw now no man but Jesus only, and it was good to be there. Heaven is not far from those who tarry on the mountain with their Lord. Who has not, in moments of meditation and prayer, caught a glimpse of opening gates? Who has not, in the secret place of Holy Communion, felt the rush of some white surging wave of emotion, a foretaste of the glory of the blessed? The Master had times and places for quiet converse with his disciples. Once on the peak of Mount Hermon, but more often than not on the sacred slopes of Mount Olivet. Every Christian should have his Olivet. Most of us, especially in the cities and towns, live at high pressure. From early morning until bedtime, we're exposed to the whirlwind. Amid all this maelstrom, how little exchange for quiet thought, for God's word, for prayer, and for heart fellowship, heart to heart embracing with his love. Daniel needed to have an Olivet experience in his chamber amid Babylon's roars and idolatries. Peter found his on a housetop in Joppa. And Martin Luther found his in the upper room at Wittenberg, which is still held sacred. Dr. Joseph Parker once said, if we don't get back to visions, peeps into heaven, consciousness of the higher glory and the larger life, we shall lose our religion. Our altar will become a bare stone, unblessed by visitant from heaven. Here is the world's need today: men who have seen their Lord. Come close to him. He may take you today up into the mountaintop. For where he took Peter in his blundering, and James and John, those sons of thunder, who again and again so utterly misunderstood their master and his mission, there's no reason why he shouldn't take you. I think, oh God. So don't shut yourself out of it and say, oh, those wonderful visions and revelations of the Lord are for his choice spirits.
no, they are definitely for you. Amen. Amen. Let's get on that mountain with him. Let's ask for visions of heaven. Then we can really tell the world who Jesus is. Amen. We've got... Tracy feeling unwell. Geraldine is... That's Geraldine Connor. Is due to have an operation on her eye in the morning. And she wants us to pray for her. And also that she's allowed to keep a driving licence. And a request for Ivy. She's been sick and had a funny turn, so we need to pray for Ivy for healing and for strength. So I'm not going to ask any individual to pray. I'm going to ask us to all pray and all stand, and God can hear every one of us. Don't be afraid of your voice, and God will hear all of us, and he senses our hearts, and if we have compassion, he will hear the cry and he will answer. Amen. So let's pray for Tracy first. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the miracle that you've done in Tracy's life. Lord, I thank you that you are real to her. And Lord, I come against those symptoms in her body. The enemy who is trying to hold her back and who is trying to stop her, Lord, turn her away. Thank you, Lord, that she is strong in you. Father, I just speak healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in her body, that she shall know your divine peace and health and wholeness. Lord, let her know right at this minute that you have touched her and that, Lord, she is healed in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For Geraldine, this operation on her eye, for success, and that she'll be able to continue driving. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Geraldine's perseverance and, Lord, her love for you. Father, I pray that you will guide the consultants tomorrow as they operate on her eye, that, Lord, the desired effect will happen, that her eyesight will be restored. And that, Father, she shall be able to continue to drive to your praise and to your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you love her dearly and that you are constantly with us. And Lord, that you will never forsake her. And Lord, I pray that there's things she needs to learn through this, that she shall hear you clearly as she waits on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. For Ivy, that this sickness will be gone and this funny turn, that, Lord, stability physically she'll be there. She shall feel the everlasting arms underneath and around about her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Ivy. Lord, thank you that you are so real to her. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you've ministered to her and met her every need. And so, Lord, we thank you this afternoon for divine health in her body. We command all sickness and all dizziness and strange feelings, Lord, to be gone from her body right now. In the name of Jesus, and we speak divine health and wholeness, stability into our life. Lord, in the peace of God, divine health and wholeness in abundance, in Jesus' precious name, that, Lord, she be restored to us speedily. And, Lord, we pray for Pat, that she too shall be restored to us speedily. Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in her life. And, Lord, as much as the enemy would seek to try and crush her and destroy her, we know that he cannot. Because, Lord, she's in your hands. And, Father, I thank you that you will turn these curses into blessings. And as always, Lord, she will come out stronger because that's your way. And, Lord, we look to you and we say thank you. Lord, pray for others who are not with us this afternoon. Lord, you will draw them back to yourself. That, Lord, they will learn to put you first in their lives. That, Lord, they'll realize that there's no other way to be. But, Lord, to have you in the centre of our lives and everything else will be added unto us. As we see, Lord, in Matthew 6, verse 33, we choose, Lord, to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Lord, we pray for our Christian family in the Philippines who have undergone much devastation and travesty, Lord. Lord, we just cannot imagine what they've been through, but, Lord, you were there. And you know. And Lord, you have a way of making a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, we call in your divine provision for them. For Lord, a restoration of their possessions. Lord, that you will comfort those who mourn, who have lost loved ones. That Lord, you will make an opportunity here for the Church of Jesus Christ, for the voice, your voice, to be heard in all of this. That Lord, what has been seeming like a curse shall be turned into a blessing. In Jesus' name, we just commit them all to you and Lord, to your safekeeping and your divine provision. And we speak health and wholeness into their bodies in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, you are the greatest comforter that ever has been. And so, Lord, we thank you for your divine comfort into each and every one of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.